The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
Welcome to Between the Synapse. I am your host, Mark Tobin. As the lady just said, thank you for listening live or maybe later, but I do appreciate it either way. If you would like to listen to previous podcasts of Between the Synapse, which I certainly hope you do, please check it out on my blog at betweenthesynapse.com, and you can find all previous 57 episodes right there on the front page, and you can binge watch or listen, I should say, if that is your desire. Also, if you want to ensure that you don't miss an episode, you can subscribe also on the front page there. Just provide your name and email, and you will get notices in advance of each show and know when and what to listen to. And I do appreciate those that have already done that. You can also follow Between the Synapse on Twitter at Between T Synapse. So today is Hola Israel. We are going to be talking about Israel and Latin America. We'll be visiting with the founder of Fuente Latina, Leah Sobel, who involves herself with Hispanic media and relationships with the state of Israel. And we're also going to be talking to a Latina from Texas who went to Israel on her first trip. We'll be doing that later in the show. But first, I just can't go on without sharing some big news, very big news. Actually, it's a reveal. And I can only guess that the reason that these things are starting to come out is because Seinfeld signed this big deal with, I think it was Netflix, to finally put out their shows for distribution on live streaming. So it's going to be available, and there have been a lot more interviews with a lot of the characters and so forth. And so George, the character that played George, I should say, recently appeared on Howard Stern, and he was asked about the character Susan. That was his wife, if any of you recall, who died of poisoned wedding envelopes. She licked the envelopes herself, and then they were poisoned, and she died. And what he revealed, Jason Alexander, that is that though he very much liked the actress, Heidi Swedberg, that played her, that the timing between he and her, as well as between her and some of the other characters, was just not quite right. And so therefore, they concocted a plan to kill her off. And apparently it was Julia Louis-Dreyfus who suggested it. And I don't know how they came out with the envelope method of killing, but that was the reason that Susan left the show. Who knew that there was such intrigue behind the scenes on Seinfeld? So, with that out of the way, we're going to switch gears quite quickly and turn to Hola Israel and talk about the relationships between Israel and Latin America, as well as other Latin-based countries, with Leah Sobel. Leah, thanks for joining the show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
You are in Jerusalem, correct?
Yes, correct.
Now, tell me about this organization that you founded, Fuente Latina.
Well, I started it at the end of 2012 because for the last 10 years or so, I've been working with journalists that have been working from Israel, have been trying to cover Israel and all of its many different dynamics. But not only Israel, the Middle East, there's a lot of issues that have to do with the region that are of importance to the Western Hemisphere. And throughout the years, I was working in English and I was working in Arabic. And since Spanish is one of my native languages, I always saw that there was kind of a vacuum in terms of information. And while there were hundreds of journalists coming to Israel and the region on an annual basis, when they would go home and they needed to continue to cover the issues, there was a lack of resources and information. And so I wanted to establish an organization that would help these journalists be able to access Israel and the Middle East, no matter where they are geographically, so that they could have the facts that they need to do their jobs. And so that's precisely what Fuente Latina does. Fuente Latina is a nonprofit, non-governmental organization that works to engage Latino Spanish-speaking journalists around the world who need to access Israel and the Middle East to cover the region accurately.
And how many journalists are we talking about? I mean, obviously, Israel and the region attracts a disproportionate amount of media coverage. We know that, but roughly how many Spanish-speaking journalists will look to cover the region?
A lot. Well, what I found when I was looking to fill this void was, what's the demand? Obviously, you know, when you're starting a new organization, who is your audience? What's the demand? And because of the Arab Spring and because of a lot of like regional conflicts at the time when I established it, it was the end of Operation Protective Edge in Gaza, and that you had the 2006 Hezbollah-Israel border war. And you also had, you know, what was going on in Tunis and Tunisia, Egypt, and other regions in Syria, particularly in the Middle East and the Gulf. And so there was a heightened increase and need to be covering these issues, but there was a lack of resources in Spanish. So just to give you a sense of the audience that we're dealing with, if you look at the global number of Spanish speakers, which is estimated to be about 500 million, here in Israel on a day-to-day basis, there's an estimated 400 foreign journalists of all languages that are based here on the ground covering not only Israel but the region. Of those 400, it's also estimated that there's about 30 that deal with the Spanish and Portuguese-speaking world. And that just shows you kind of like the disproportionate amount of Spanish-speaking journalists vis-a-vis the number of Spanish speakers worldwide. It's estimated that Spanish is the second or third most spoken language globally. So out of 400, you have 30. There is a real need to be providing additional information. A lot of the journalists that work here are newswire journalists. So what they're writing is being republished in hundreds, if not thousands, of newspapers and media outlets worldwide.
Right. So what essentially that gives those 30 journalists a significant amount of influence, good, bad, or indifferent, throughout the Spanish-speaking world.
Correct. And what I found from working here on the ground is that there are a lot of journalists coming in through a variety of different programs, many of them spearheaded by the government, but others, there's a lot of other organizations seeking to educate journalists worldwide. And when they come, they become familiar with Israel and the region. What are the issues? What matters to them, their audiences? What can they take back with them and what can they continue to cover? And that when they go back home, there was no additional resource for them to get their information in Spanish. Or on a cultural level, you know, if you're writing for a U.S. Latino outlet and you want to say, you know, what is cool, what is unique about the Latino population in Israel? And there was no resource that you could turn to get you that information if you were in Houston or L.A. or Mexico City or even Madrid. And so that's where we've decided, and that's where we've been kind of moving to filling that void.
Well, how is it different? Is it just a matter of having available in Spanish, or is the Spanish-speaking world looking at different issues than perhaps the English-speaking world or the Chinese-speaking world? And, you know, is there a different angle, different approach?
There is a different angle. I mean, if you look at Spain, for example, looking at the Spanish language sphere, Spain is geographically a lot more closer to Israel, and so the issues that they cover have to do more with day-to-day politics. If you're looking at a newspaper or media outlet based in Miami or in LA or even in Argentina, it's not as widely covered, the day-to-day political issues, as they are in Spain. A lot of times it has to do with maybe larger media items such as like major news cycle wars, or conflicts, debates regarding the Iranian nuclear program. And then it might boil down to Argentina-Israel relations. And if we're looking at the U.S. Latino media sphere, it has to do a lot more with what matters to audiences. We're learning a lot about, you know, the cultural context. And what we've learned and what I've personally gathered from the work that I'm doing is that if I'm standing in the Western Hemisphere looking at Israel in the Middle East, it's far away. It's not something that is on the top five priorities of someone in Latin America or the U.S. on a day-to-day basis. And so when we're trying to move news stories, we're trying to make them a lot more interesting and relevant to local audiences than just the average big news media item regarding a conflict or a diplomatic incident. We're trying to make it a lot more relevant and local. And so a lot of the times with larger outlets, it has to do with translating or putting it in Spanish, but it also boils down to finding the story that really matters to audiences the most.
Right. And how do you do that? Is it just through conversation? Is it just through experience? Or is there a more scientific method to the madness, so to speak?
I wish there was, but with the media, it's ever changing and it's very dynamic, which makes the job as fun as it is. But what most people don't know and what's really interesting is that it's estimated that there's somewhere between 100,000 to 150,000 Israelis of Latino origin. The majority of them are from Argentina originally, but there are Cuban Israelis, there are Puerto Rican Israelis, there are Spanish Israelis, Mexican Israelis, and from every single country in the Spanish-speaking world. And so it's about finding their voice, their stories, and then connecting those stories with the media outlets that want to be covering those stories. So, for example, they'll call from Mexico City, a major news outlet, and they'll say, listen, I'm looking to speak with a Spanish speaker on the ground to tell me about, what's hot on the technology scene, for example. And so we were able to put together that outlet with leading a startup in Israel that's developing a technology to detect cervical cancer by putting an adjustable camera on a phone, and it happens to be that one of the engineers is originally from Monterrey, Mexico. And so we've been seeking out in these different kind of companies from the government. Now there are two Latinos for the first time in the Israeli Knesset. So it's about finding Latinos and also the non-Latinos, but to make it really more relevant, it's about finding what is the pride of Hispanic culture within Israel, which it certainly thrives. And so it's about finding those stories and then connecting them to the relevant news outlets.
And how did the Pope's visit play into coverage?
Well, the Pope's visit was huge because obviously the Papa Latino from Argentina.
And, I'm sorry, I can't say it quite like you can, so I just stuck with Pope.
The Pope Francis is, it was on the front page of Time magazine, Man of the Year. And he's a big deal in the Latino world. And so when he came to Israel.
And that was about a month ago, right?
It was May of last year. May 20th, I believe, was a year ago. It was just a little over a year ago that he was here. And it was a big deal because all eyes were on Israel and Jordan, where he had visited, and Bethlehem in the West Bank. And we had developed, specifically Fuente de Latina developed in coordination with the Jerusalem Press Club, a Latino media center specifically to provide information to the global Latino media in Spanish. And it was a resounding success because of the need, because even there were journalists parachuting in from all over the Spanish-speaking world. When imagine yourself even as a tourist parachuting in to Jerusalem during such an important news cycle story, and you don't know who to go, who to talk to, what information to gather, and so we were there to provide them with all the information they needed, as well as helicopter tours so they could get free B-roll for their news stories of Jerusalem and the holy sites. And all sorts of additional services for journalists that they could use and take advantage of to make sure that they had the best story they possibly could with regard to the visit.
Well, I want to ask you about these helicopter tours, which sound like fun, and I also want to find out how you ended up doing what you're doing. But we've got to take a break. So stick around, and we'll talk to you in a minute on Between the Synapse.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. There are over 140 million products manufactured worldwide. It is impossible to know the ingredients in these products, especially those made overseas. Stan Salat, creator of the HSF Mark and the Counterfeit Mark Alliance, is the host of People to People, working together for your safety. Stan believes in our right to know the type and amount of hazardous materials in consumer products and whether they are counterfeit. Find out how you can protect yourself every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety. Tune into the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
What can you find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are. Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right, we're back on Between the Synapse. I'm your host, Mark Tobin. We are talking to Leah Sobel, who's the founder and director of Fuente Latina, which is an organization that, Leah?
Yes.
I was going to give you the opportunity here.
That seeks to engage global Latino and Spanish-speaking journalists worldwide who are covering Israel and the Middle East.
So there you go. And if you want to learn more about the organization, you can go to
FuenteLatina.org.
Fuente Latina, and that is FuenteLatina.org. And I really urge you to check it out. Some really good stuff there. So first of all, you started this organization, a little over two years ago, something like that?
We're entering now our third year.
And how did you, you know, as the talking head say, how did you get here?
Very, very, very interesting story. I immigrated to Israel over 10 years ago, and it actually was focusing a lot on Arabic and the Arab world. And along my way, in 2005, I was doing a PhD in public diplomacy. I was really interested in how the Arab world was communicating with the West, particularly Latin America and the United States. I had done a master's on America's public diplomacy to the Arab world after 9/11. And in 2005, my boyfriend, who's now my husband, went to a press conference organized by an organization at the time called the Israel Project. And at that time, it was with, I think it was the Minister of Finance, Ehud Olmert, who then went on to be the Prime Minister of Israel. And so when he went and he found out about them, he was like, oh my God, you have to apply. This is exactly what you're trying to do, is working with journalists and finding out how to communicate with them. And I applied and I got the job, and it was a really, the organization at the time was absolutely groundbreaking, because back then, for all the foreign journalists that were based in Israel, and you have to understand that after 9/11, between Israel and Iraq were two of the major and most important hubs in terms of media. That has since changed now. A lot of that has shifted to Egypt since the Arab Spring, and now more Israel, Egypt, Syria, given what's going on in Syria. But at the time, you know, here in Israel, there were press conferences conducted in Hebrew. And if you didn't have a stringer or you didn't speak the language, it was very hard to access.
And by the way, a stringer, for those who don't speak media, is what?
A stringer is kind of a freelancer, somebody that works on the ground, that has access to politicians, to experts, has the linguistic capabilities to kind of maneuver in the terrain. So, you know, let's say you're a foreign correspondent, you parachute in, and you have what they call a stringer, which means the person knows who to contact if you need a cameraman. They know, you know, the language.
They know the lay of the land.
They know the lay of the land. Exactly.
Got it.
You know, at that time, there was no press conferences in Spanish or in Arabic or in English, for that matter. And so what this organization did is kind of provided that same access in English. And then slowly but surely, as it continued to grow and in popularity with not only the foreign journalists in Israel, but also on a global scale, they developed programs in Arabic, they developed programs even in Chinese, in French and German and Spanish, of which I was involved in. And then slowly but surely, you know, everybody decided to start to kind of expand. And so in that expansion, that's when I said, you know, I think that this warrants a specific focalization specifically on the Latino world, and not take it not only in terms of Israel, but also in terms of the greater Middle East. And that's specifically when I left and I decided to establish Fuente Latino.
You know, I've always said a lot of people's view of Israel, and particularly those that have neutral or less than neutral and even negative views of Israel, oftentimes are based on either bad information or lack of information. And one of the things that I've always said is that the truth will reveal support for Israel, but it's got to be disseminated. So what, you know, your organization is doing is part of that process of educating people in a real way, so that they understand, you know, what's going on the ground, what Israel is about, and they can see it through their own eyes. I don't think it sounds like you're trying to manipulate their view, but just trying to make sure that they get a view. Was that accurate?
Yeah, that's very accurate. The whole point of Fuente Latina is not at all in terms of influence. It's really about education, just making sure that journalists that are covering this region and all of its complexities understand that they have a source that they can turn to, an unbiased and impartial source that can provide them and get them whatever information they need, whatever interviews they need, whatever additional information. I mean, we're also translating information from Hebrew and Arabic into Spanish and making sure that, you know, all the information that's relevant to the big stories, but also the little small stories, the stories that aren't covered, that show the diversity and the dynamic culture that is this region, that to make sure that those journalists have absolute access, that geography is not an issue and neither is language, that they can cover the region with ease and in any way that they like.
So this helicopter tour thing, I assume that helps explain the geography.
Well, it does, because a lot of the times, you know, if you look at a map and you hear, you know, Israeli politicians talk a lot about, you know, the narrow waistline or you know, the lack of space, or, you know, look at what a tiny country we are. You know, if you're looking at a regular map, it doesn't look that small. But as soon as you get in a helicopter and you realize that literally it takes 7 minutes to fly from the Mediterranean Sea to the Green Line of the West Bank, the 1949 Armistice Line, that basically, if you look at the map, it's like, you know, that kind of to the right, it's a kind of looks like that the inverse heart, and then you have the Mediterranean Sea. It literally takes 7 minutes by helicopter, and I don't even need to say or explain anything. The journalists get it because they're seeing it with their own eyes, and that's really the importance of having journalists come to the region to really understand it for themselves.
How long does that helicopter take? Is it a short tour? Or a couple
you can
hours
do. You know, you could do. I mean, there's a lot of different. The regular one that we usually do is about 3 hours, where we see what they call Israel's narrow waistline from the Mediterranean to the West Bank.
Gilligan Island special, the 3 hour tour.
The 3 hour tour, exactly. Yeah. No, I didn't think of that.
With a better ending, I hope. Listen, yeah. We've just got a couple more minutes with you before we get to our next guest. And this is probably would take a whole other show, but I do want to ask you really quickly about Israel's relations generally with the Spanish speaking world. And then I also want, if you just comment on what Iran is up to in Central and South America, and particularly with Venezuela.
Well, that was definitely a whole other show, but I'll try to keep it as short as possible.
Make this a teaser.
Okay, so let's go with your first question, which is Israel's relation with the Latino world. This is an ongoing relationship. There are countries in Latin America that have always been friends of Israel, that voted in favor of Israel in the United Nations in 1948, and so at the creation of the State of Israel. And there are relations where some are stronger, and then there are some that need to be improved. And Israel recognizes, without a shadow of a doubt, the importance of Latin America, not only in terms of politics, but also in terms of commerce and economic relations. Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, had planned to travel last year to 3 Latin American countries. The trip got canceled, then it got rescheduled, and then it had to be canceled again because of the war last summer. I have no doubt that he will be traveling sometime in the next year to Latin America. Israel also just became an observer in a new a trade bloc in Latin America called the Pacific Alliance. So Israel, without a shadow of a doubt, recognizes the importance and has a lot of new initiatives taking place to make sure to strengthen ties in the region. Turning now to Iran and Latin America, Iran in its a terrorist proxy organization, Hezbollah, have been in the region since 1979. If we talk about, for example, the new alleviation of sanctions in Cuba, the first country that Iran established a presence after the 1979 revolution was Cuba. And Cuba has always, the Fidel Castro regime has always dictated Iran's relations with other leftist countries, which they call the ALBA countries, which includes Venezuela, Ecuador, Nicaragua, and Bolivia. And these are the countries where we found the strongest presence of not only Iran at the political and the economic level, but also some military ties as well as cultural, a lot of cultural activities as of recent. But this is also areas where we found a lot of presence of Hezbollah. And one of the big questions, and maybe this can be a whole other show, is about what is actually going on in Argentina right now, and to the degree of Iran's involvement.
That is a very interesting but also very scary topic. One of the things I was just reading about was in regard to Venezuela, it seems that the Iranians have been over there advising the government, particularly after the death of Chavez, on how to deal with people who don't necessarily like the government, and they've been helping them form these collectivos, which are similar to the kinds of bands of not vigilantes, but they're people who kind of put down protests in Iran. And so there are people that are advising the government on models on how to prevent civilian, not even uprising, but just protests, and how to make sure that those things don't get out of hand. And that's just sort of the, I think, the tip of the iceberg. But
if I'm going to leave you with one sentence, it should be clear that Iran is its strongest ally in Latin America, and where it is involved in every single facet of society is without a shadow of a doubt Venezuela.
Well, that's a really positive note, but thank you. but on the other hand, if you want to talk about positive, what your organization is doing in terms of helping the Spanish-speaking world understand, as I said, through their own eyes, what Israel is about, and understand the facts of all the conflicts. Because, as I say, if you understand the facts, Israel will win, and that's what you're helping doing. So, congratulations on your third year of this organization, and I want to thank you again for joining me on the show from Jerusalem, and we'll have you back and continue the discussion. So thank you, Leah Sobel, and we will be back with our next guest who just recently returned from her first trip to Israel. So,
stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join host Gary Ray as he shows what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right, and welcome back to Between the Synapses. It is Ola Israel here today. We are discussing the relationships between Israel and Spanish-speaking world. And we just heard from Leah Sobel, who is a director and founder of Fuente Latina, and the good work that they are doing in terms of helping the Spanish-speaking world better understand both Israel as well as all of the issues that confront the Middle East. It's also very interesting to always hear from people who experience Israel for the first time. People will come to Israel and they will have various preconceived notions of what it's going to be like. They will have seen it on the news almost every day and read about it. Sometimes their preconceptions are confirmed and sometimes they're not. And that's why we like to hear from people who have made that journey. And today we are fortunate that Ariana Montalongo de Valdivia, is that even close, Ariana?
Oh my God, you get 100. Yes, you did great.
Wow. Is joining us, who just returned from a group of media representatives from a trip that was with a group of media representatives that were invited by the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. I'm delighted to be here.
You work at Houston Media Source, which is a public access TV and radio station, and so have been engaged in media and public relations for quite some time. And so, when, you know, how did this come about? Somebody just call you on the phone and say, hey, you want to go to Israel?
I'm glad that you mentioned that. So you mentioned my work at Houston Media Source. In addition to that, I'm also a guest blogger for HispanicHouston.com. And having been a PR professional for several years here in Houston now, you know, Houston's like one of the world's smallest, largest cities, so you kind of get to know everyone. So I had worked on several stories with Ambassador Meir Shlomo, who is the Consulate General of Israel to the Southwest and whose office is here in Houston. So we have done interviews with him before for Houston Media Source and for other sources that I've, you know, that I've contributed to. And I think that when the opportunity became available, I was recognized for my grassroots outreach to the community. I communicate with Houstonians and Latinos on a very personal level. I don't do stories about war and politics. I do stories about people, life, culture, and travel, because at the end of the day, that is what we do here at Houston Media Source. But then also, I think that those other topics could be a bit intimidating to the everyday person whose job is not dealing with politics on a day-to-day basis. And so my whole goal, Mark, is to go as a representative of the people, experience the world, come back, and report on it on a very personal level.
And so just so people understand, are you, you're a native Texan?
Correct.
And I grew up in the Valley, right?
Yes. My parents are from Mexico. I grew up in South Texas. I was born in McAllen, Texas. And, you know, I had an interesting experience growing up. Even though I was born in the U.S., I still had the opportunity to go through the immigrant experience because having been born in South Texas, we only speak Spanish down there. It's like you might as well have been born in Mexico. And at a very young age, we moved to Baltimore, Maryland. So it was a huge change. And I got to, you know, learn English as a second language and feel a little bit like the outsider initially. So I have a really unique experience, Mark, in that in addition to having the benefit of being an American, I'm also really appreciative of the immigrant experience that people from all over the world go through when they come to America. And I hope that that reflects in my writing as well.
All right. And so you bring this background and this trip is offered and you decide to go. And what, you know, I know, and I think in the promo, I actually mentioned the website and people can check that out of your of Hispanic Houston and where you wrote about the trip, at least part one. But, you know, like I said, in the introduction, everybody's got preconceptions of something, and those preconceptions may not be negative or positive. They just are what they are. What, you know, what were you thinking? What did you think that you were going to see or encounter?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, how I experienced those preconceived thoughts. When I announced to my family and friends that I was going to be making the trip to Israel, you know, traditionally I would get a really nice reaction if I was telling them I was going anywhere else in the world. But their reaction was, why are you going? Do you feel safe? Aren't you scared? And I was like, see, those questions are a reflection of how you are allowing, you know, some of the news outlets to give you a preconceived idea of what a country is about. If all you hear about Israel is war, then that's all you're going to think about. So that's one thing. To answer your question, what were some of the things that I expected? I had the privilege to sit down and have a discussion with Ambassador Meir Shlomo before leaving Houston, and we spoke at length about, you know, what I could expect there. And let me tell you, when I got there, one of the first things that I hear is Spanish. I hear people speaking Spanish. We dined at several restaurants in Israel. We walked into Rustico, which is a restaurant in Tel Aviv. And when we walk in, they're playing salsa and merengue music by Juan Luis Guerra, who's a very famous artist from the Dominican Republic. And so the Latino influence exists everywhere around you in Israel. The other thing that I found fascinating and so relatable to those of us who live in the U.S. and specifically to those of us who live here in Houston is that Israel is a country of immigrants, just like the United States is. And when you walk down the streets of Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or Haifa, you're going to see people of all ethnicities, cultures, religions, and speaking all kinds of languages. And they go about their normal day without, you know, any prejudices or any of those things that some of us might think about when we think about Israel when we're sitting on this part of the world.
So let me just then get to the initial preconceived notion that, that your friends and family had in terms of feeling, you know, safe and concerned about security. So, you know, you get to Israel and you're walking around. Was that something that you were, you know, feeling? Did it feel tense? Were you feeling tense ever in terms of, you know, oh, my God, something's going to happen, you know, at any time?
No, you know what? Totally the opposite, Mark. You know, for the majority of my time in Israel, I was, you know, on a guided tour with the organizers from Fuente Latina. They did a fantastic job, by the way. There was one day, though, where I kind of strayed on my own, and I decided that I was going to stay in Jerusalem by myself. And
oh, I thought you were going to say you ended up in Syria in the middle of the No, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, so I decided that I wanted to explore Israel on my own, and I felt completely safe walking, you know, the streets of Jerusalem. There's a short video that I posted on my Facebook page where I'm walking in the middle of Jerusalem at night. It's like midnight, and I do this short video just to show to my, you know, family and friends and anyone who's watching, you know, I'm out and about, and it's safe. I feel completely safe. There's nothing, you know, absolutely that scared me. And here's the thing, Mark. You know, danger exists everywhere we go. Ironically, I felt super safe in Israel, and it was there where I saw the news about what was happening in Baltimore, which is the town where I was raised. So I think that, you know, that just goes to show danger lurks anywhere. And I think that, you know, people really need to open up their mind when they're thinking about places in other parts of the world, such as Israel.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, I'd like to talk about kind of, you know, your takeaways. What are the things that when people, you know, ask you about the trip and in a cocktail party setting, what are the top three things that you would tell them that they should see or they should experience or that, you know, that Israel's up to? But we got to take a quick break, so stick around on Between the Synapse, and we'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus, creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson in The Sea Around Us said,
"All at last, return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end."
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
And once again, we are back on Between the Synapse, and I am Mark Tobin, hosting the show. I hope you're enjoying Hola Israel, and currently we're talking to Ariana Montelongo de Valdivia. And she recently experienced her first trip to Israel as part of a trip that was sponsored by the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs. You know, based on what I understand is you travel a lot, right?
Yes.
And do you do a lot of international traveling, or is it mostly domestic?
You know, most of my international travel has been on this side of the hemisphere. So lots, you know, to Mexico, been to Canada. You know, lots of domestic travel. This was my first time really leaving this side of the hemisphere.
And so, you know, I get based on your experience, though, in terms of just being in another foreign country, did you find it vastly different or just kind of the same?
You know, there were a lot of similarities that I experienced in Israel that felt like back home here in Houston, Texas, or in the United States. And there were a lot of parts of Israel that felt a little bit like the quaint towns in Mexico. Specifically, Tel Aviv, to me, felt like the Miami of Israel. You've got, you know, it's a huge city. It's all the hustle and bustle. There's coffee shops at every corner, just like you see Cuban coffee shops everywhere in Miami. You see them. You see the coffee shops in Tel Aviv as well. Then, of course, you've got the beach right there and the Mediterranean oceans right there, just like you've got Miami Beach in Florida. So it felt a lot like that. And when I traveled just a mile or so from Tel Aviv to the old city of Jaffa, that's where it felt like I kind of walked into this romance novel. I felt like I was walking the cobblestone streets of Guanajuato, Mexico. So there were a lot of parts that felt like home in the U.S. and like home in Mexico. And the other thing that, you know, made it really feel at home was just the people, Mark. The people are so amazing. Everyone is very proud of their country, and they welcome tourists. They love tourists. When I would walk down the streets of Old Jerusalem, people would come up to me and start talking to me in Spanish. They could just see that I was Latina and like, "Hey, amiga, come here, ven para acá." You know, they would start talking to me. So the people immediately made me feel at home.
About what, though? Just, you know, whatever?
A lot of them were vendors. A lot of them were, you know, restaurant owners that are standing right outside the doors of their restaurant at, you know, in the old town of Jerusalem. So it was a lot of solicitations, but the fact that they were doing it on a very personal level with me in my own native language, because I do consider Spanish my native language, because it is, you know, that was really spectacular. I was really amazed by that.
And what about, you know, as I said before the break, somebody comes up to you and you know, you're at a party and, you know, how was your trip? And you're going to tell them three things, you know, basically, that they have to see or experience about Israel, or that Israel, you know, is doing. What would you tell them?
Well, the first thing I would say is, yes, it's safe. and I would tell them, you know, how great the people are and how welcoming everyone is. I think that the first thing I would tell them would be to definitely explore Old Jerusalem, because, you know, that is the birthplace of world religions. And to this day, you can breathe it and feel it. You could see Catholics, you see Arabs, you see Jewish people praying at the Western Wall. And it's just very intense emotions, the sights, the smells. I mean, it's just very enticing. And I think that, you know, you can't go to Israel without experiencing Jerusalem to begin with. The other thing I would say is Tel Aviv. Man, Tel Aviv is a place to go. You know, Tel Aviv is home to Startup Nation, to the largest growing population of startups in the world, second only to Silicon Valley, right? And so I think that from a business perspective, anybody who's interested in that really needs to go check out Tel Aviv and all of the wonderful things that the city is doing. They create incubators for young people who want to collaborate and to help, you know, to help succeed in their startups. And then the other thing that I would tell them, now this is just me being a Houstonian, Mark, you know, we have the largest Texas medical center in the world at some point or another. If you've worked in Houston, you might have worked in the medical industry. I was fascinated when I visited Ruth Rappaport Children's Hospital and Rambam Hospital. They are really leading the charge in terms of medical technologies. They're leading the charge in terms of organ transplantation. They house a lot of Syrian refugees, a lot of children that are in need of transplants right now. And at Rambam Hospital, they are regenerating skin cells into heart cells, which is fascinating. And I got to see that under a microscope. So there's a lot of, you know, tech and medical advancement that's going on over there. So if you're a techie, if you're into that, definitely need to check those things out. And then last but not least, the Baha'i Gardens. You know, I had no idea that the Baha'i religion was so new. It's only been around for 100 years, I think. And the Baha'i Gardens are heaven on earth. And I will be writing more about that in my part two of A Latina in Israel, which is available on HispanicHouston.com.
Right. And you can also find that on my blog, where you can look at the promo as well as the podcast. That site will be listed. I guess what is the, you know, the Baha'i Gardens obviously were, you know, beautiful. And I haven't seen those since my first trip to Israel, I think in 1982. And I kind of forgotten about them. And I appreciate you reminding me, because I should take those in again. Were there any kind of historic site that kind of like, you're like, oh my God, you know, I can't believe I'm here?
Well, for me personally, and, you know, as a Latina, and this will resonate with a lot of Latinos living here, you know, in the U.S. and of course, in this part of the world, being at the Western Wall and being in all the holy sites, being at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and visiting the Via Dolorosa, all of the places where Jesus Christ once walked, and you know, like I said, Old Jerusalem is the birthplace of world religions. And to me, that was just amazing. And whether you are a spiritual person, religious or not, I think in terms of history and historical references, I mean, the number one read book in the entire world is the Bible, right? So if you've, you know, if you want to have a historical reference and experience that, go to Old Jerusalem and experience, like I said, the sights, the sounds, the culture, the intensity that you feel when you see everyone praying at the Western Wall. It's just spectacular.
That is all great advice, and I'm so happy you went, and I'm even more happy that you had a really terrific time, and it sounds like a meaningful time as well. And thank you so much for sharing. But unfortunately, we're going to have to rely on your Hispanic Houston.com for more details of the trip because we're out of time. So please, if you're interested in learning more about our Ariane's trip, check out HispanicHouston.com. And thank you for listening. Check me out on BetweenTheSynapses.com for this podcast as well as others. I want to thank the folks at Voice America for all of their help. And check me out on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. I'll talk to you next week on Between the Synapse.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.